Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors. From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
This must be Saturday, and this must be the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors, because every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m., you will find Dan Bush and me, Tom Neubauer, right here at 105.7 FM, The Fan, and Sports Radio 1250 AM, talking about fishing and hunting and a bunch of other stuff. And if you want to get involved with that other stuff, all you got to do is give us a buzz at 414-799-1250. That's 799-1250. Or you can always email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com. Good morning, Dan. Good morning, Nick Bodie.
Good morning.
So you got to keep your phone on in the morning, Tom.
I forgot to turn it on this morning.
In an emergency, because I got to come in all the way from Pewaukee. And have you ever, guys, ever noticed where, like, there's a series of events that it always happens, like, let's say you leave just a little bit later than normal, right?
And then something happens.
Then you go outside and, oh, crap, now I got to take a minute or two to get all the snow out or scrape my windows, okay? Then you look at your gas gauge and, like, oh, crap, I got to get some gas.
Yep.
Then you go on your way to the gas station and, oh, crap, a train. And it's just like then you get ready to leave the gas station and, oh, crap, the roads are icy. I have to slow down. So it seems to be like a series of events.
Yeah.
That if you just leave a few minutes late, nothing else is going to work in your favor. Everything's going to work against you.
and that was you today.
Yeah. And then there's times where there's an accident.
Oh, yeah.
I shouldn't call people idiots, but someone driving too fast for conditions, which even today driving in, I got people in two-wheel drive cars racing by me at 75 in the left lane. Once they get by me, I put my brights on just to let them know you're an idiot. Flash my brights in their rear and thinking, knucklehead, if you go spinning out, you're wrecking it for all of us.
You know, yesterday on my way to work, not here, at a different place, Highway 45 going south, it was really slow going, 10 miles an hour. Sometimes you had to stop. I mean, it was just, and I'm, you know, the traffic was just crazy. And I'm thinking, oh, man, there must have been an accident up ahead somewhere. Well, when I get up there, yeah, there was an accident. It was on the other side of 45, and people are all slow. There was a Jeep on top of the median strip.
Right.
It was like on a 45-degree angle. Once we got past that, traffic was fine. You know, I mean, it's like, why does everybody got to slow down and stare at this?
It's kind of the slinky effect. I don't know. It seems like they slow down in front but totally stop behind.
Yeah.
A couple miles
an
hour.
Exactly.
I don't know how that quite works.
I don't know.
But it seems like you'll be at near standstill. Now, it's not like everybody's pulling up, stopping the car, looking over at the Jeep on the median, then resuming. They're slowing down, but back behind, all of a sudden, you're almost to a total stop.
Yeah, exactly.
So they call that the gawker's effect.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep.
And all you gawkers out there, quit gawking.
Just stop gawking.
I got to tell you, Bushy, it's not the people that are stopping to look that are slowing things down. It's the darn millennials, because we're all taking our phones out. We got to get a picture. We can't just tell you
I never
we saw
thought
a semi
about that.
Flipped over. So
and you're not supposed to be doing that.
Oh,
right?
yeah.
while you're driving.
You're right. They're probably texting.
Oh, they are.
Jose, your buddy Jose, 5 miles behind you, mm-hmm. or Sally, who might be on this road in 4 hours, mm-hmm. that, careful, there's an accident that.
Oh, man.
That's what happens.
Get off your goddamn phones. But, Tom, keep your phone on in the morning so when I try call and leave a message. Gee, Tom, I might be a little late. A few little problems. I got that series of events going here. It's a bad morning.
You know, every now and then in the morning, it doesn't happen that often, but every now and then I forget to turn it on. And it doesn't happen
that's
that
okay.
often, but every now
we'll
and
forgive
then.
Forgive you. Yeah. Oh, another part of the series of events that's all that will never fail will be then you do go to pay for your gas at the convenience and there's a guy in front of you
buying lottery tickets
and smokes.
And smokes.
What is it? What is it about people that buy cigarettes 9 times out of 10 are getting lottery tickets at the same time?
Oh.
I don't know if there's anybody who works at one of these places listening to me, but I swear to God,
and
I very rarely see him just buying a pack. And it'll never be a pack of cigarettes that the guy can just easily reach and grab.
Right.
It's the third one from the left up there, and the clerk can't see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and for 5 minutes. No, the Slims. Nope. They're right there over, down a little bit. Yep, on the right. Yeah, those ones.
And with the lottery tickets, I'll take, one of those. And, give me two of those.
Right.
Well, take.
Meanwhile, there's eight people in line behind you.
They're doing that. Yeah. Oh boy, it happens.
Can I pay with a coupon? By the way, be like, yeah, sure. That'll be another 5 minutes.
I think I told you about my very impatient buddy years ago in Woodman's. We were standing, and a lady had a whole bunch of coupons, and finally, he just lost it, and he goes, "Here, lady, put the coupons away." He gave her $20. She put the coupons away, and we went through and checked out.
Here, put the.
We were on our way to a party. We were getting stuff to get on the boat. So, yeah.
It's always to save like $2. I mean, it's not. It'll be like 50 cents on a can of tuna, but you got to sit there and cut it out for two. The amount of times I wanted to throw 10 bucks at somebody and be like, here, please move this along.
I'll tell you what. I do our grocery shopping. My wife makes the list, okay? And she cuts coupons. She does. She's a coupon cutter. But with her knowledge of sales and coupons, she saves us roughly 1 month's mortgage payment and property tax payment a year. She does. I mean, and I would never take the time to do it, you know, to clip them all out and do all that. And I'll tell you what, if I forget to use those coupons or one of them or anything, oh, does she let me have it? Because she spent all that time getting them.
She looks at the cash register receipt when you come.
She checks the receipt to make sure the prices are right and all the coupons were used properly. No, she's good at that. She's very diligent. But like I said, she saves us a bunch of money, you know, 1 month, you know, mortgage every year, at least 1 month. Yeah. Hey, good for her. Kudos for her. Like I said, I don't have the patience for that. You know, I just don't.
I don't have the wife for that.
Well, that's what we got to find you. Got to find you one.
With a scissors.
No, that could be dangerous for you.
Yeah.
You heard about Lorena Bobbitt, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. The last name isn't Bobbitt.
You better watch it.
Keep her away from sharp instruments.
Well, this snow, I'll tell you what, my son Nick was out ice fishing last weekend, and you know, on that windy Sunday day, when it was so freaking windy out, went out without his shanty, and after about an hour, he figured, I'll stay out here maybe an hour, hour and a half. But fishing was good. Catching was good. He was catching big bluegills, dandies, and big pumpkin seeds. And so he calls his brother-in-law and says, hey, this is good right now, you know. So his brother-in-law comes out and Nick says, bring your shanty too. It's getting kind of cold. So they caught quite a few really nice bluegills. I saw them. They were dandies. They were killers. Yeah.
There ain't a bluegill in the world that could keep me out on a day like that.
You got
shanty, no shanty, log cabin. I ain't going out on one of those crappy days.
Yeah.
For a bluegill.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what though. He really enjoys it. He's really into ice fishing. I mean, all kinds of fishing, but he really enjoys the ice fishing, and he does good at it. But that day, in all that wind, I mean, and it was really windy with high wind gusts, But you know what, Danny? The fish don't know it's windy out. You know, they don't know. They're under the ice. What do they know?
So here's the big story out of Sturgeon Bay. Did you hear it?
No.
Okay.
What?
So on that Sunday, I think 1 week runs into the next when I'm working. That was last week Sunday when it was the 50-mile-an-hour, 60-mile-an-hour winds.
Right,
okay. One of the guides up in Door County, you know what? They got those guides, and they're doing the whitefish guiding.
Right.
And they got, you know, the roads plowed, and they got their shanties, and they get people out there, and then they fish for the day. And apparently what happened was most of the guides canceled that day and just said, no, weather's too bad. But one guide service let a bunch of people go out there, and they got stuck out there and stranded.
You want the ice cracked?
No.
No, what happened?
It was blizzard conditions.
Yeah.
From what I hear, vehicles were drifted over, roads were drifted over. Oh. You couldn't see in front of your face. So the guide actually called, I don't know if he called 911, but the fire department, and I believe the DNR had to go out to rescue the people.
No, wow.
So if you go on Lake Link or any other chat sites, there's all kinds of people basically saying that there is no way that guide should have allowed the people to go out there. And apparently it took several rescue snowmobiles to go out. And I don't know if they had trailers behind, and they took them a couple at a time. And apparently there were some guys out there. Sounds like there were some guys out there that, some Asian guys out there that didn't even have winter boots and stuff.
Really? Because they figured, well, I'm going to get driven out here. They drop you right off at the heated shanty, you know?
And they didn't even have the winter, you know, proper clothing on and attire. So the criticism is that there's guides that, you know, they get paid a lot of money for those trips. I think ice fish, I think I mentioned this before. These guys, you take one guy fishing for a day, Tom, and let's say even at today's rates, you charged them $300-$400 for one day. One person out there, you busting your tail for 8-10 hours. The ice fishing guides, even if they're charging, I've heard anything between $50 and $150 per person.
Right.
Even if they're charging,
they got 20 of them.
Yeah.
20 guys.
Yeah. And they're just basically providing a shack and a place for them to fish. They're not even really guiding per se.
No,
you know what I mean?
They're putting them on the spot. Yeah.
Maybe they're giving them transportation out there. Maybe they're not. They're making a fortune on a big group of guys going out there. For them to say no, you can't, don't go bother going out today, is probably taking $500,000 out of their pocket from the bottom line. And there might be some guides that would be a little hesitant to say no. But definitely, I think you gotta just say, hey, you know, I don't know about you, Tom, but I've told clients in the past, no, we're not going to go today. It's just too, you know, and I've had clients disappointed who wanted to still go, even though there might be some lightning, but I'm not going to do it.
Right. You know, after the break,
I don't need the money that I'm not going to do anything just for money.
Right.
Safety
right.
has to be number one.
Right. After the break, we can tell a few stories of, I have one in particular that what happened on one of these unfortunate days. But anyway, maybe you might have a few, I might have a few, maybe a caller will have a few. We'll see what happens here on the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Stay tuned for more.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. 799-1250 with your hunting, fishing report. Got a tree down in your driveway needs taking. We'll help you with anything.
Yeah, we got an email, Danny.
What's that?
And anybody can email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com. This is from our friend Tex in the Big Rig. He says, morning, boys. Just wanted to remind all those depressed fishermen, they can't get out on the lakes because of the snow depth, that you can grab a full-size rod or tip-up and fish for browns in the harbors on Lake Michigan. Before you know it, we'll be idling up the flooded rivers, jigging for walleyes. Maybe we'll all see you at the Milwaukee Sports Show this year, or, of course, at Curly's Waterfront Pub. That's from Tex in the Big. He says big truck now instead of big rig.
In the big truck.
Yeah. Well, Tex, you're right, pretty soon. Because you know what they say, when March comes in like a lion, it goes out like a lamb. So it came in like a lion, and hopefully it's going to be nice in a few weeks.
You know, it's really hard to fathom, Tom, that several years back I was out in the end of March. I left school with a couple teachers, buddies of mine. I had the truck boat hooked up right in the parking lot, downriggers on. Mm-hmm. We drove over to the South Shore and launched and went out and got our limit of trout, yeah. Browns and Lakers. It was two Lakers each and then Browns. Yeah. It was one after. It was the most incredible, fastest Lake Michigan. Well, I've had as fast salmon fishing back years ago, yeah. But as far as just for the trout, fastest, unbelievable. And it was in March.
Yeah.
The sun was shining.
Yeah.
Now I look at this, I'm thinking, there ain't no way I could possibly fishing in March. But
not now.
But maybe by mid-April. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, once it starts going, it goes quick. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, it's like a light switch, and all of a sudden, you got 50-degree days.
Yep.
Sun is shining.
Pretty soon.
When I was a kid growing up in Green Bay, that meant everybody had their shirt off, and we were playing basketball mm-hmm. in the driveway.
Yep.
50 degrees, and you got your shirt off playing basketball, because we thought that was warm
compared to below zero. Well, I was going to tell you a story one time, and it wasn't my fault. I had a couple clients out. We were on Big Cedar, and we were at the south end of Big Cedar. It kind of goes on an angle, but we're at the south end. And in the north, it would be like the northeast. Okay, we're in the southwest. And you can see this line of clouds. I mean, it was a perfect straight line coming at us really fast. And I says, oh, that's weird. Look at that. And then we're looking at it. And it's a good thing we were a little closer to shore at the time, because this thing, it was a wind shear. It came in, and that wind was blowing so hard. I was really afraid that we're going to tip over, right? I was really worried. It came in so hard that I tried moving the boat out, getting the nose into it.
Right.
Couldn't. The nose, it just blew us right up against the dock. We just held on to that dock for dear life. It must, I don't know how fast it was blowing, but I swear to God, it was like you were in a tornado, that wind shear. And it passed through, and then it was just windy after that, like a steady 20-mile-an-hour wind. But when that wind shear came, and you could see the line of it, you know, just, and it hit us, like, really fast. And it was like, that was one time when I was really worried that something bad was going to happen, you know?
Well, have you ever seen like a water spout on the water?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I never have, but I've had
on
friends
Lake Michigan,
who did.
I seen it.
Really? Were
on
you
Lake
fishing
Michigan.
At the time?
No, I was. Well, no, I take it back. Well, we were fishing, but we weren't on Lake
you
Michigan.
You weren't scared because you were on the shoreline.
No, we weren't afraid of it, but it was cool.
I would not think it's too cool if I were out in a boat and saw buddy of mine was out fishing on Mendota years ago, and tornadoes had blown through in the area. It's some rough weather. It kind of blew in quick, and he actually saw water spouts out on the water, and it scared the crap out of him. In fact, he said at the time, there I am with my fiance, and I'm going to get her, you know, killed here in this thing. Of course, now that she cheated and divorced him, I'm thinking maybe he would have been better off to lose her in the water spout out there. He probably, maybe that's what he thinks now.
Danny, oh,
but at the
now
time,
we're going to get letters and calls. Oh boy, here it comes. Here we're going to get it now.
So maybe he feels that way.
Hey, I know what's going on with the North Lake launch. I was going to save this for later, but I'll tell you right now. I know what's going on. Why there isn't a North Lake launch yet, even though we own the property, why there isn't a launch. It's collusion. I love that word.
Are they colluding with the Russians?
No, it's the property owners and the DNR are colluding. See, they're all in collusion. See,
well, I know the property owners are colluding
and
with the
and
rich,
a judge, I think,
with
and some lawyers.
With, yeah, I know.
And the DNR, yeah, it's all collusion.
I don't know if the DNR is colluding. I think they're colluding against the DNR. Because if you got rich property owners who have rich attorney buddies, and or if they know some, you know, some other judges and stuff like that, well, then maybe they can collude and the DNR doesn't want to, you know, battle with them and spend all kinds of legal fees trying to fight them over the launch.
Hey, Wisconsin's got enough money. You know, Governor Walker has that big surplus of money that, well, Tony Earle might spend. But
Tony's got a bunch of money.
They could spend it and get a launch at North Lake.
Money's going to be like a fart in the wind. Tony's going to spend that so fast. Then he's going to try and raise $6 more billion.
You know what, Margaret?
That money's coming out of your pocket, buddy.
You know what Margaret Thatcher once said when it came to throwing money at different objects, raising taxes and all that? Margaret Thatcher once said, at some point in time, you're going to run out of spending other people's money.
Yeah, I think that's what they said.
That Socialism's
great until you run out of other people's money to spend.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, we'll get off of that topic. But anyway, I like that word because it's been used a lot, that collusion. But there is colluding going on out there. We should have the North Lake Line. And the other thing, too, is, you know, there are other places, and I'm sure our listeners have heard of other places where there could be a launch, where there is not a launch, or they could expand the launch, you know, like at Beaver Lake. That could be expanded where you could actually have trailer parking there instead of just carrying. Lake LaBelle, that needs a launch. I mean, they have a launch, but no parking. So what the hell good is the launch if there's no parking, you know? So the DNR there needs to purchase some property instead of buying, you know, the DNR, they buy all these.
They just bought a big park. There's a big track of land that was just purchased, and it's going to be some new big. Yeah.
Well, which is fine. You know, if they're building parks or whatever for the use of the citizens in this state, that's great. But sometimes they just buy big tracts of land just to own big tracts of land. And it's like, well, why don't you, you know, let's face it. The majority of the population density wise is southeastern Wisconsin, you know. And there are so many lakes around here that are busy lakes that could be maybe a little less busy if we had more launches, better launches at other various lakes, you know, to take some of the pressure off of the, like Pewaukee and Okauchee, you know, Conemaugh and Nagawicka, you know, some of the ones that everybody goes to, you know. So, I mean, it could take some of the pressure off. Anyway. Oh, who do you got there, Nick?
We got Bill in Oak Creek on the phone.
All righty. Good morning, Bill. How you doing today? Oh, you got him.
And we just lost him. Call us back, Bill.
Okay, Bill.
What happened, Bill?
Keep both hands.
What'd you do? Drop your coffee? Yeah.
Both hands on the wheel.
We are
calling and driving.
As they say in the radio business, we are efforting, Bill.
Call back when you get a chance.
Oh, is that what it's called?
That's what you say when you can't get somebody on the phone. Instead of technical difficulties, you say we are efforting him as we speak.
Efforting. Ooh, we just learned a new word there.
There you
efforting.
Go.
Took us 12 years. We learned radio lingo.
Yeah, we learned radio lingo.
I'll tell you what, why don't you do a tease and throw us there to break, boss?
Yeah, throw us a tantalizing tease, Tom.
Well,
when we come back.
Kind of hard for anybody to see me dance.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a
can
tease?
Can you juggle, too? Maybe you can go join the circus. You got a monkey that rides a bike?
That's coming in town. The circus.
What? I'm not letting you anywhere near a circus because you'll think it's a big game.
You know, I saw. Yeah, Bush will think it's a big game on there. Everybody down! Boom! Hey, no, I heard an ad for the circus. It says, come see the elephants. Come see the tigers. And then it says, come see the dogs. Come see the dogs? They see dogs all over them. What are you talking about? Come see the dogs. That was kind of dumb. But anyway, okay, we'll be right back, folks. 799-1250 is the phone number. This is, well, you know what it is. It's the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. We'll be right back.
Come here, I'm gonna eat you! I'm bigger than you, I'm higher in the food chain! Get in my belly!
The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. How about chili chicken? You could probably use turkey, you could probably use a number of things, but chili chicken, this isn't too hard, folks. There's only four things you put in this. Four boneless, skinless chicken breast halves, you know, one side of the whole breast, one side. You take that and one can of Italian stewed tomatoes, all right? You put that in the oven. You bake it uncovered at 350 degrees for about 50 minutes or so. You'll have to check it. Then you take a can of chili with beans, pour that over the top, bake another 10 minutes, top with some American cheese, and return to the oven for about 3 to 4 minutes until it melts. How easy is that? And, ooh, it's good, too. The Gut Report was brought to you by Discount Liquor, where you're going to find the best price, selection, and service at 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and Main Street in Barstow in Waukesha. For weekly specials, go to DiscountLiquorInc.com.
Come here. I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors.
You know what's coming up at after the 6:45 break, Danny? The Hornswoggle.
That's right. Yeah. And I'm working on some of these questions right here. You have to be very, very astute and greatly learned and knowledgeable. Like you, Tom.
Yeah, like
You're
me. Sure. I'm a I'm
a
genius.
Smartest in my, guys I know.
I'm a genius in my own mind. Yeah, you know, a legend in my own mind. Anyway, it's brought to you by Carl's Country Market in Menominee Falls, on the corners of Pilgrim and Silver Spring. Okay. The Hornswoggle.
We're not doing it now, though.
No. After, well, I'm just letting people know.
It's going to come up. Later. Okay.
Yeah. And I think we have a caller now. Maybe Bill called back. Did he call back?
No, but we got something even better. We got Al in Waukesha.
Oh, well.
Alan, why? I want a girl to call. Why do we dudes keep calling?
It could be short for Allison. You don't know.
How about a girl with a cute voice?
I'll bet this is our friend Al Shook. Is this Al Shook?
It is.
Hi, Al.
My voice is a little too deep to imitate a woman. So yeah. I'm sorry, Bushy.
Yeah, you'd be an ugly broad, buddy, even if you put a wig on and lipstick.
You ain't no trip to Hollywood yourself,
pal. Okay. That's because we got those.
Ain't no trip to
Hollywood.
That's
because we don't have fine features. We're the rough, rugged-looking guys.
Yeah, sure. You bet.
Okay.
And calls women broads. Oh, boy. We're going to get emails
for
that,
ugly
too.
Woman.
Chuck Freeman does that every day.
Does he?
Oh, yeah.
I bet you he gets bad emails.
I mean, just look at all the things that, you know, Howard Stern said, for God's sake.
Turn
on network TV. They're throwing F-bombs out and everything.
Well, anyway, Al, what's on your mind this morning?
You're going to get me in trouble for using the B-R-A-D word.
Well, there's a couple of things. Right now, I'm on my way up to Millador, north of Stevens Point, for the very first of this year migratory meeting to find out what the season's going to be. It's only 6 months away. Waterfowl, dove, early goose, and so forth. This is how early those things get started. You know, full 6 months away, and probably next week or the following week, there's going to be some internet surveys for what their state is proposing, and also there's going to be some public hearings. They usually have four around in the state for public input. And your input on these questions is taken seriously by the migratory waterfowl biologists. There have been some changes in the last couple of years with this new biologist, like the holiday goose hunt, where we were able to hunt geese into January this year, extending and changing different season time frames and so forth. So it's important that if you get a chance to go to those hearings and or check online and give feedback, because it is important, and he's more than receptive to new ideas on how the waterfowl season would work. And the population for ducks is in such good shape that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is considering giving another 7 days of the season for this region of the United States.
Oh, that's great.
They just allowed 60 days, but they're debating if they're going to give us another 7 days and if they should mandate at what part of the season those days should be applied.
Well, you keep an eye on that for us.
Well, I will. And you were talking about the North Lake launch earlier, Tom. The Waukesha County Conservation Alliance did send a letter encouraging the DNR to restart the process of the North Lake launch to the new secretary.
Good.
That's a goal, but we have not gotten a response yet, as I'm sure everybody in Wisconsin has sent him some sort of a letter or email requesting something. So
it's something that I have been neglecting doing. I have to do that.
Well, contact your representatives, too. We've got a situation where one party is in the governorship and another party runs the legislature, and that I think you called it collusion.
Yeah, it's collusion.
Is still instead of Russian collusion, it's North Lake collusion.
Yeah.
Is still a prominent feature where, you know, the threats of lawsuit, you know, never stop.
Yeah, I think we need a special investigative committee to look into this collusion out there.
I'm not a big fan of the way Minnesota runs things, but I like Minnesota. When they decide there's going to be a boat launch, they condemn property and they plow it right in, and they don't care what people say.
That's what I like about them, too. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So, well, listen, we got to run, Al.
All right, gentlemen, have a great day. Bushy, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll be giving you a call later today, buddy.
All right.
Take care.
Take it easy. Bye, Al. So you're going to go do a little pheasant hunting with Al?
We're supposed to, although I'm a little worried because they're talking, what, 10 to 20 mile an hour wind chill? And is that still being forecast
and
for
a high
tomorrow?
And a high of 9 degrees.
Yeah. I'm going to give him a call. I don't know. If...
Well, anyway, we got an email here from Ray B. Thank you for emailing us. And it has a picture of this guy holding a big pike. And he says, hi, guys. Here's a photo of a big one taken from Beulah, Lake Beulah, recently by a buddy of mine. I never thought Beulah would hold such a monster. That's a dandy pike. And, Danny, Lake Beulah does have big pike in it. That does not come as a surprise to me. Beulah has always had some big pike in it. And that is a dandy. I wish he would have said what the measurements were on that weight measurements.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell.
But it's a big fish, nonetheless. It's a dandy.
He's got it. He's done the old fisherman thing where
he's holding it out a little bit.
What do you mean?
His arms are actually bent. His arms are bent.
He's
you know, it's not like his arms are straight. His arms are bent. His elbows are bent. So he's like holding it about like this, you know. So yeah, that's a dandy. That's a nice fish. But yeah, Beulah. Actually, Danny, that comes to no surprise to me. I used to fish Beulah a lot, and what I mainly fished it for was, of course, largemouth bass. But we caught some pike in there. You know, when we do that,
right?
A friend of mine would ice fish it, and he would catch some dandies out there every now and then. You know, over the years, but we did a lot of nighttime bass fishing on Beulah. And I really enjoy nighttime bass fishing. There's nobody out there. It's dead quiet.
Would you use like a topwater, like
no.
a frog or something?
No. When I first started night fishing, I thought, you know, buzz baits, topwaters, jitterbugs, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I went with this guy. His name was Hal Walker. He's long since passed away. God rest his soul. He used to be like a news guy on WISN.
Yep.
He had one of those deep resonating voices. Great for news, right?
Right.
Well, I went out with him at night, and he turned me on to something totally different, and it proved itself out. And we did a lot of testing to make sure. You got to use a big spinnerbait with a half-ounce spinnerbait with a really big, oversized Colorado blade, big round blade. And I'm telling you, that thump, 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 you know, you can feel it as you're reeling it in.
Would you slow roll it then?
You would just cast it out and just start reeling it so that you'd feel that thump. You know, the tip of your rod would be moving.
Yeah, just general steady retrieve.
Yeah, steady retrieve. And it didn't matter if front of the boat, back of the boat, it didn't matter. That spinnerbait with the big Colorado blade just caught tons of fish. Yeah, you'd get some on top waters. But it was mainly that spinnerbait because it gave off a big profile, but it was that big vibration of that big Colorado blade. And he told me and I was a young guy then, you know, and he said to me, Tom, he says, if it stops thumping, you know, when you stop feeling the thump on your rod, set the hook. He says, yeah, every now and then it's going to be a weed, but it's going to be big. And we caught some dandy fish at night. As a matter of fact, he caught one that was, he never weighed fish. You'd measure them, you know, sometimes. Otherwise, they would just take a picture and say, yeah, that's a dandy. He had one in there. Danny, I mean, that fish, that fish,
it 7 pounds.
It was 25 inches long, and it had. I think it was eight. I think it was at least eight. It was huge, but you know, it was. Yeah, nighttime bass fishing, that's what you got to use. Now,
really
he
think...
liked black. He liked a black tail,
yeah.
A black bucktail on his spinnerbaits. He made them. So,
do you think that's an overlooked? You don't see hardly anybody bass fishing at night.
It is a ball.
You
it
think...
is. Because
that
there's
probably,
nobody out
that
there.
That probably is the way,
yeah.
Especially on pressured lakes.
Yes.
Those fish probably hunker down in the weeds during the day.
Of course they do,
and
yeah.
feed at night.
Well, some feed during the day. Some, you know, they're opportunistic.
They're opportunistic.
But, yeah, but at night, there's nobody around. There's nothing around. And they're just going along eating stuff. I mean, nighttime bass fishing is pretty cool.
When we come back from break, there's another lake I want to ask you about that I used to hear tales of giant bass.
Okay. And with that, folks, you got to give us a call if you want to be a contestant for the Hornswoggle, where you will win a $10 gift certificate to Carl's Country Market in Menominee Falls. You call right now at 799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. We'll be right back with more of the... it's, of course, the Skipper Buds. I'm trying to do a couple different things at once. I'm picking up different papers here to give to Nick. It's the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Thanks for listening this beautiful Saturday morning, which isn't quite so beautiful. And now we have our Hornswoggle segment, which is like what everybody's been waiting for. It's the most exciting. Sorry, Tom, the gut report's good, but this is exciting. This is like the Super Bowl, the World Series, NBA Finals.
Yeah. Who do we have?
World
him?
Cup all rolled into
from?
One.
We have Gary in Watertown is going to be playing with us.
Oh, yeah, okay. Our old friend Gary in Watertown. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Tommy.
How you doing?
What's going on today?
Huh? What?
Fisheries. I think the fisheries are all done.
Oh, we're looking for one.
Yeah, because today, I think you can still fish game fish today, right?
Yeah, but they pretty much try and, I mean, you could go online, maybe you could go on Lake Link and look, but from what I understand, normally they try and wrap them up just because of ice conditions getting iffy, like they're not getting iffy, but typically they kind of wrap them up last weekend in February. Yeah. There might be a meat raffle at the waterfront today, though. I think that's what's going on.
Yeah,
I could be wrong.
Yeah, and game fish closes at midnight tonight, so...
I see. I got a 6.5-pounder last week with all the monkeys up there in Oshkosh.
A 6.5-pound what?
Walleye.
Whoa.
Oh, that's a nice one.
That's good. Was that the Battle on the Bago that you were in?
Yeah.
So then you take, from what I understand in that one, just doesn't matter what you catch, you go and register it, and then you're in the drawing. Is that correct?
Well, there are only certain ones they got for drawing. The top 10 are in the drawing, and then after that goes by fives.
Oh, okay.
Did you win anything good?
Yeah, I got $750.
$750?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
that's awesome.
That's good.
We learned a lot when we used to go out with you. Remember when we used to go out to old folks' homes and stuff and teach them people how to fish?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's
Tom,
Tom actually did
My
that.
My son Cody used to be good for that. And Rachel won that one prize at your basketball thing. She got a TV that one time.
Oh, yeah. We did a seminar that was at St. Margaret Mary, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, she still uses TV yet.
She still has that TV? My God, you get her a new one. You won $750. Buy her a new TV, Gary.
Well,
she still remembers Tommy.
Get her a new TV. Come on. Hey, you ready to play the Hornswoggle?
Yeah.
So here we
All
go.
Right,
so
here we
now,
go, Gary.
Now you can win a $10 Carl's Country Meat certificate, which means you'll go out there, use the $10 Carl's, and $750. You'll have $760 worth of meat when you leave Carl's. So here we go. To improve accuracy when you're shooting at the bench rest, Rest the barrel of the rifle solidly on the rest, directly in contact with the barrel. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
That'd be false. That would be no Hornswoggle?
That's false. It's a that would be a Hornswoggle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you don't want to put the barrel on top.
Oh, you put the butt on it. Not the butt. I mean the fork.
You don't want to have the barrel because then it can cause. Yeah, you don't want to rest the barrel against
the
hard
object. It's the butt
part.
I mean, not the butt, but the fork. What do you call that?
Forearm.
The forearm. Yeah.
There we go.
Okay.
All right.
Let's
so you got
that.
It right. So if I'm pulling your leg, it's a Hornswoggle. So here we go.
You got one right.
If it's true, it's no Hornswoggle. Squirrels. The Mongolian desert fox squirrel can weigh upwards of 4 pounds.
Hornswoggle.
That's a Hornswoggle.
Right away, Gary. Thank you. Thank you.
There is no Mongolian desert fox. Let's see if he would have got the last one. There are tarantulas in this world actually large enough to eat a possum. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
Hornswoggle.
No, that's a no Hornswoggle, dude. There's one. Go to USA Today and Google it. They had it. It's all over. There's a video of a tarantula big as a dinner plate carrying off a dead possum.
Really?
Yep. I kid you not.
You know, well, you won the $10 gift certificate to Carl's, but you know what, Gary? You're a longtime listener. You're a good guy. I'm going to give your daughter something, all right?
Okay.
I'm going to give your daughter a one-year subscription to Badger Sportsman Magazine, okay?
Well, she'll appreciate that. Thank you, Tom.
All right. We'll be mailing that out to you, okay?
Thank you.
All right. You're welcome, Gary. Thanks for playing. All right.
Well, and Gary's on a roll.
You got Gary's name and address and everything.
Voila.
I'm going to copy that down.
Certificate. Free
Gary won all kinds of stuff.
He's like Santa Claus.
You know, I remember what he was talking about now. I would do different seminars at schools, okay? And I would bring in guests to do, you know, we'd all do like short ones, you know, because let's face it, a lot of people don't have, especially younger people, don't have a long attention span. And, now I can't remember his name. I'll think of it. But anyway, this one guy, terrific bass fisherman, I had him come in and do a short seminar. And what he did was he did a rap version of a fishing type thing, you know, about fishing. He did a rap one. Did not go over well. It didn't go over well.
Nothing worse than a white guy singing a rap song.
Yeah, well, that's not even singing. It's talking a rap song.
A white fisherman guy.
Yeah, I mean, but it was kind of funny. But
Shadrap could do it, though. Those guys could do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, those guys were talented, though.
They could do it.
He should have stuck to what he does best, Tom.
Yeah.
And that's fishing.
God, I knew his name before, but you know how sometimes you know something and all of a sudden it just flees your mind and it's like, I can't put my finger on
happened
it
happened every time I tried to take a test in college.
Yeah, you know, that happens.
I knew it, but gone.
Yeah, I knew that. You know.
Of course, you had all kinds of concussions. And you spoke at schools, you said?
Yeah.
Were you proper?
Or churches, you know.
Were you properly vetted?
I don't know.
Nowadays, they do a lot of vetting.
Hey.
You can't just have any sodbuster fisherman walk into a school and give a seminar now.
Yeah.
Have to be vetted.
I used to do kids' seminars, you know, talking to youngsters, you know.
Right.
And I'd bring a mount of a bass and talk about what that is. And then, you know, we talk about other fish, you know, the basics, you know, hook, sinker, bobber, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a lot of fun, you know. I mean, the kids always seemed real interested, you know, and you had to have props, you know. You had to have some rods, reels, a mounted fish so they could look at. But you had to have props. But the kids were – but you got to keep it short, you know, because their attention span doesn't last real long.
You know, the thing that drives me nuts about fishing with kids – oh, my gosh. If they got a bobber and a little rod and reel, they don't just lop. They go to whip it,
They
whip it.
They like casting.
They like casting, but they go
like
whipping
casting.
It. And then half the time, before they even cast, they get it all wrapped around the tip, and then they try to make a cast. It's just a mess.
Yep.
Just a disaster.
Yep.
I can't handle taking any little kids fishing anymore.
It, you know, well, I'll tell you though, my granddaughter, she is
trolling.
I think she's
going to take them trolling.
Yeah, she's going to be a real good fisherman because she's patient. You know, she's starting to cast. Yeah, she'll cast it out, and then she'll sit there and hold that rod and just sit there and stare at it. And you know, she'll want to talk a little bit, maybe have a snack, but she will. She is very patient, and you know, whereas the little boy, the little grandson. No, he's all over the damn. He's all over the place. He's
crazy
all
running
over.
Around,
he's
going nuts,
throwing rocks at the bobbers. You know. Yeah, but that's what little boys are supposed to do, right?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.